The crucifixion is in a public place. So anyone and everyone coming by would have been able to read whatever the charges were. And they would mock them. If you put four gospels together, people were making fun of him and the others and calling out names. And so anyone and everyone who could read, who was able to read, saw a clear proclamation from the Roman government. And the Jewish leaders were angry.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. Jesus is crucified as our study of John continues in chapter 19, verse 17. Here's Pastor Bob.
Then Pilate delivered him to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. That's where we left off. Pilate wanted to let Jesus go free, but it was too big of a coward. He couldn't stand up to the people. He just couldn't stand up. He was afraid. Afraid for his job, afraid of an uprising, probably afraid that it might snow. He was just afraid. Like we all are, with no excuse. When you catch yourself, or we catch ourselves afraid, all it really means is we're not really trusting in what God promised and what God said. And so we're choosing to go ahead and fret. I think some people like that, but it's really kind of miserable. So here we go. Jesus is now in the hands of the troops. And we come to verse 17. And he, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, bearing his cross, carrying his cross, went forth to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew, Aramaic, Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on each side, either side, and Jesus in the center, in the midst. They took Jesus and they led him away to Golgotha. It's the Hebrew, Aramaic Hebrew. It means the place of the skull. The Latin form of the word is Calvary. And so when you're saying Calvary Chapel, you're saying Skull Chapel in Latin, right? Those of you that have visited Israel, they'll take you to a spot where they do believe that that's where Jesus was crucified. People take pictures because it does look like a skull. You can see the eyes and the shape. But you have to keep the camera aimed up pretty high, because if you get too low, you get the bus stop that's under it. And it loses everything. Remember, it is a real country and a real place, and there's people waiting for the bus. And he was what? Carrying his own cross. It was that cross piece. The top piece of the cross piece, and he carried that on his back. That's the wood. Remember, it's made of wood, carved wood. So he's going to be hung on that cross. In the Old Testament, we see types. Types mean like symbols. A type of what Jesus Christ would say, or what Jesus Christ is going to do, or how God, and so we see symbolically the types. And we see the type that Jesus would carry his own cross, and that he would be crucified outside of the city. Those things are in the Old Testament, way before you were born. Jesus was crucified. The way they write it there, it's just like, you know, it was Jesus' birthday, or, you know, and then he tied his shoes. It's just that simple. But it was gross, it was terrible, it was ugly, it was painful for the Father and the Son. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 6. You see Father Abraham taking his son Isaac to be offered as a sacrifice. Now God, in the law, forbids human sacrifice. Yet God says, you take your son, your only son, your beloved son, and you take him to a hill that I will show you, and there you offer him as a sacrifice to me. I'm just going to read to you Genesis 22, verse 6. You can read verses 1 through 6, or you can go and read the whole chapter. I'm just going to read verse 6. And Abraham, you know, he was with two servants and his son Isaac. When they got to the place, God said, this is the place. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and did what, everybody? And laid it upon Isaac, his son. His son is going to carry his cross up that hill and be killed on that wood that he's taking. That will be the wood for the sacrifice. So his little boy, Isaac, some say he wasn't little. Some believe he was probably about 33 years old. He's going to carry that cross. He's going to carry that for that burnt offering. And he laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife in his hand. Who's got the fire? Father Abraham. Who's got the knife? Father Abraham. Who is making sure that the sacrifice is going to be put to death? The father. You get it? You see the picture that we're getting? When people say, who put Jesus to death? God said, it pleased God, Isaiah 53. It pleased God to bruise him. It was God's intent all along. That's why Jesus Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. This wasn't a shock to him. Don't watch these dopey Christian movies or whatever kind of movies about Jesus. He's always shocked when he does miracles. It scares him as much as it scares everybody else. And that's not the Jesus that's in the Bible. At 12 years old, he knew he was the Son of God, and he was, you know, discussing deep things at 12 years old with the rabbis and the scholars in the temple. And his father and his mother, when they found him, she said, why have you done this to us? And he said, you should have known, didn't you know? I have to be about my father's business. Jesus isn't shocked that he's Jesus. So stop watching this junk. Or watch it and say, oh, wait, the Bible says, no, he wasn't shocked. Listen to it again. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Isaac will carry his cross, his wood, up to the top and be sacrificed on that wood. Just like Jesus. It's a type of Jesus Christ. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went them together. The father and the son went to the top of that hill, and it's Mount Moriah. And that, by the way, is where Calvary is. When Jesus was crucified, he was crucified on that mountain where Isaac was taken. Isaac is not a little boy like everybody pictures him, probably the same age as Jesus Christ when he was crucified. That makes it very interesting because Isaac says to his father, Father, got the wood, I'm carrying it. You got the fire, you got the knife, but where's the lamb? Where is this the one that will be put to death? And what did Abraham say? He didn't say, it's going to be you, dude, surprise. He didn't say that. He said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. That does. Now, when you read it, you say, oh, that means God's going to provide. No, God will provide himself. He will be the sacrifice. That's clear. Go back to the language. Don't take my word. Look it up. Study it. See it. He's saying God will provide himself to be that sacrifice. And so Isaac's happy with that. Cool. Let's go. He has no idea what's coming. Jesus does, though. So the father and the son, they went to that place of sacrifice. The son will carry the wood and the son will be put on the altar. The cross is that altar and Jesus is that sacrifice. God prepared or provided himself the sacrifice. And he died on that cross. Now the sin offering. That was Genesis 22. Now, so I just want you to see that there's a type of Jesus Christ on the cross. And the Father, was the Father there? Yes, the Father was there. And as soon as God turned his back on his Son, Jesus noticed that the not the relationship, but the fellowship was broken. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knew when God turned. And the place went dark as midnight or darker. And Jesus hung on that cross for 6 hours. 3 of those hours, pitch dark. Because the Father was on the top of the mountain with his Son. And then he turned, because God cannot look upon sin. And Jesus became sin. He who knew no sin took on my sin. And that's a load. Took on yours. Took on the sin of the world. That's what's going on. Now, that sin offering, if you'd like to, people say, I hate reading through, especially Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. You need to read those. Because right out of Leviticus chapter 16, I'll give you the verse 27. So don't cheat now and not read the rest of the chapter. Because there's stuff in there that you need to see. But listen to this. The sin offering had to be taken outside of the camp, outside of the city, and burned and sacrificed and taken out there away from the city. Leviticus 16, 27. Jesus Christ, our perfect sin offering, suffered and died, where, everybody? Outside the city. So the sin offering, which he was for us, and God accepted that sin offering, it had to be outside the camp. Jesus Christ, our perfect sin offering, suffered and died outside the camp. I'll say it another way. Outside the city, the walled city of Jerusalem. Outside the camp. So God never wastes anything. The things you're reading in the Old Testament you think is boring to read, there's a lot to learn in there. Don't give up on you. Sometimes it's hard to, it repeats itself and you're not quite sure what. That's okay. Hang in there. Go through it. God will teach you. He'll show you. And it's just amazing what we learn. So here goes Jesus. I'll read verse 17. And Jesus, bearing his cross, went forth to a place called Place of the Skull, which in Hebrew, Aramaic, Golgotha, where they crucified him. See all the description? There it was. They crucified him. And two others with him on either side, Jesus in the center. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, and this is just for Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many, verse 20, of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city. He's just outside the city, and the main road comes right by there. And so all the travelers coming into the city, because it's Passover, remember, you're going to have huge crowds. They're going to be walking by. They're going to see these three hanging on the cross, and they can see the signs above each one. And so this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city. It was written in Hebrew and in Greek and in Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, finally he gets some guts. Finally he stands up. Too late, but oh well. Pilate said, what I've written, I have written. They crucified Jesus. They nailed him to that cross. That's how the Romans did it. The nails were, as people will tell you, the common ones used were 6 to 9 inches long. So you got to, you know, drive those things in, because, you know, you got to hold someone on the cross. You don't want them falling off. Three were crucified that morning. Two who were guilty of murder, robbery, and insurrection. Jesus was in the center. One on each side of him, he was in the center. Jesus was completely innocent. It was customary. It was the custom of the Romans, not just in Israel, not just in Syria, but in the Roman Empire, wherever. They crucified all over the place because they owned quite a bit of property. Remember, it was the Roman Empire was it. Well, when they crucified people, they had a custom. So in other words, it was customary for the Romans to put a sign with the crime, what the charges are, what's the crime, above the head of each individual that's crucified. So right behind him, you're walking by, you can see exactly what those guys did. That's how we know that they were insurrectionists and murderers and robbers. It was written on there. That's how we know. Well, what about Jesus? There were no charges written against Jesus. There was no crime up there. He didn't steal. He didn't cheat. He didn't do an insurrection. He'll do a resurrection, but he didn't do an insurrection. He wasn't leading people to kick out Rome or not pay tax or nothing. There was no crime. Here are the words that were written, and Pilate did this on purpose. He wrote, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." That's just a slap in the face to every one of those religious leaders, every one of them. That offended them. He's not our king. And the sign was written in three different languages, and there's a reason for that. And the reason is, probably pretty obvious, but clearly Aramaic. The Hebrew is Aramaic. Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Aramaic is the language of the Jews. That's the language that they spoke in Israel in that day. Hebrew, Aramaic. Greek was the common language of the Roman Empire. So it was the common language of the day. Just like around the world now, a lot of people speak their native language, and a lot of people speak English. Not many speak American. When we get over there, we have to tell them how to speak American, but they speak English, right? Well, that's what's going on here. Three languages. Number one, Aramaic, that's for all the Jews. Hey, you got to put that on there, because as they're walking by, they're all coming in for the Passover. They're all coming in to do the offerings, et cetera, and so forth. They're coming back out, and it would be really crowded. So you want to put it in a language where the Jewish people can read it, and also then the common language of the land, because some proselytes will be coming from as far away as Rome. Some will be coming from up north there, or way down south, down in Ethiopia, coming up, as you'll see Simon who carries Jesus' cross would come from way down there, Ethiopia way. Well, so the second language is Greek. That is the common language of the Roman Empire. And Latin, last but not least, is the language of the legal system. By the way, if you'd like to go into any courtroom and sit down for a while, you're going to hear all kinds of Latin words thrown around, because we still use much of that in our court system, judicial system right now. It's the language of the law. And the crucifixion, as we're told here, is in a public place. So anyone and everyone coming by would have been able to read whatever the charges were of those. And they would mock them, because the road wasn't far from where Jesus was crucified. And they'd just come by and they'd mock. And the Bible, if you put four Gospels together, people were making fun of him and the others and calling out names and etc. So anyone and everyone who could read, who was able to read, saw a clear proclamation from the Roman government. And the Jewish leaders were angry at what Pilate had written. It's an insult to us. And so they said, don't write the king of the Jews. He's not the king of the Jews. Write that he said he was the king of the Jews. Makes a big difference. And Pilate says, I'm done with you guys. I'm not changing it. What I've written, I've written. Sorry. You want him dead? He'll be dead soon. I've done what, leave me alone. I'm paraphrasing. He probably said it in some other language. Anyway, verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, now they're all three on the cross, they're all nailed to the cross. They are suffering. It is miserable. It is ugly. Once they had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and made four piles to every soldier apart. So guess how many soldiers there were? Oh, good. You guys are quick. Yes, thank you. You thought it was going to be something tricky, right? No, there was four. So the law, the Romans allowed whoever's crucified, if you're on duty today, you think, I don't want to. My wife and I were planning a picnic. Nope, you're on duty. So you got crucifixion duty. Hey, it's your turn. It's your shift. So they're out there. But one of the bennies was that whoever they crucified, they got all their extra, their loose change. They got their shoes. They got all their clothes. And you say, well, what would I do with that? Sell it. You do whatever you want with it, right? So they got the clothes. And so they're parting Jesus' clothes. They got them in piles here. Soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a pile, and also his coat. And the coat was without seam, woven from top to bottom. Some said it was because it was a designer coat, because Jesus was rich. No, it wasn't. It was just a regular outer garment. It's just a one-piece thing. And they said to themselves, verse 24, let's not rip it to four pieces. It would be kind of useless. We'll roll some dice. You know, we each got a bunch of clothes from these prisoners, but this outer garment, it's, you know, don't rip it. That would make it useless. Let's just roll some dice for it. Cast lots for it is what they did. So they said among themselves, verse 24, let us not tear, but let's roll dice, cast lots, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture, my outer garment, they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. I'd like to ask you a question. Do you think the soldiers were familiar with the Bible? Not at all. You think they'd even heard about a scripture where somebody's going to play dice at the foot of somebody's cross and divide the clothes up and then throw dice for one of the one piece of garment? You think they really read that and said, "Oh, I know, it'll be totally cool. Well, this will freak those guys out because they think he's the Messiah. So let's pretend that." No, they didn't know to do that. Nothing against Romans, but they just don't have the word of God and they didn't know what was going on. So listen closely. They've crucified Jesus. The soldiers are given permission to take anything that belongs to the prisoners. They take the clothes. They divide them up. Any kind of loose change, whatever there's there, they took it. But they didn't want to tear the outer long garment. That would be a waste. So let's just roll dice. And they did. Now, they knew nothing about the word of God, but they actually fulfilled the prophecy to prove that God's word is true. They unwittingly proved, and they were Romans having nothing to do with God, proved that the word of God comes straight from God. Psalm 22, verses 16 through 18. The whole thing is about Messiah, but I'm just going to read 16 through 18. For dogs have surrounded me. This is Messiah crying out. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can tell all my bones. He can feel each bone. That's the pain he's in. They look and they stare at me. They part my garments among them and they cast dice for my outer garment. Now, how did those soldiers know to do that? They didn't know everybody. God said it was going to happen, and it did. You say, I want proof that God's word is solid. I just gave you. Now, see, the trouble is, if you refuse to believe, I could give you five more, and they won't work either. Get it? You see, the chief priests and the Pharisees would not believe. Not that they could not, they would not. And if you say, I just don't believe it. Well, there's no proof. I mean, it's staring you right in the face and you still say, I refuse to see it. And that's what Jesus told the Pharisees. It's not that you cannot believe. It's that you won't. You choose not to. So watch out, everybody. Be careful. Don't have that kind of heart. If you say, I really don't know what the truth is. Well, then be honest and seek for the truth. I believe when you do that, you will find Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that he is alive.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is a radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.